receive. Directors of kids can. Would y'all get ready to receive your group before I dismiss them? Wait for your leaders here. Amen. There you go. All righty. Now you can follow your leaders here. God bless you. Aren't you excited about Kids Can? I appreciate these folks that work every Wednesday night. They have done a tremendous, tremendous job with our children, and I appreciate their dedication. And of course, our kids, we love them and are so thankful for them. Amen. And then Brother and Sister Bacon and their helpers with our Upper Room youth. You all do such a great job, and we are thankful for you. Amen. So y'all can go ahead and go to your class if you'd like. And then I appreciate those of you that just come here and enjoy or endure, whichever it is, the adult class. Amen. You know, there are some things we enjoy, some things we endure. Amen. Sometimes it's a treat. Sometimes it's a treatment. But we do the best we can. Amen. I believe the Lord has something for us here again tonight. Amen. So if you'd turn with me tonight in your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Amen. Good to see all of our guests tonight. Thank you so much for coming to see us on a Wednesday. We're glad you're here. God bless you. Amen. Good to see Sister Martin here tonight. She's not a visitor. She's just we just loaned them out to missions. Amen. But we're so glad they're here tonight. Amen. Going to the book of Luke, chapter number 7. I'm going to launch from just the ninth verse. I'm sorry for the sake of time, but we're going to touch pretty much all of it. Luke chapter 9. Our 7 verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled. Everybody say he marveled. Did you know there was something that just caused Jesus just to marvel? I mean, his jaw dropped open. His eyes got open. He marveled. It said when he heard these things, he marveled. And turned about and said unto the people that followed him. Everybody say the people that followed him. Now he saw something from that man that he didn't see from them. And they followed him. Isn't that amazing? Here, there are people that had followed him for 3 years or years. This guy did something that made him marvel. They did too, but it's a different way. and the Bible said, Jesus then said, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Everybody say great faith. What makes faith great faith? What caused Jesus to marvel? So much so that he would say, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Amen. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. I'd like to preach tonight about great faith. Great faith. We've learned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6, that faith is absolutely essential. The scripture says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is the foundation. I think that's why the Bible begins as it does. It says, in the beginning, God. created the heavens and the earth. It just starts out with a bang. Amen. It starts out with the existence of God. Without explanation, where He came from, or who He is. It just says that God created the heavens and the earth. And that's the beginning of faith. Amen. That God is creator. Amen. So faith is absolutely essential. It is impossible to please God without faith. Have you ever said something to somebody and they told you, "I don't believe that"? Well, how did you feel about that? You probably didn't feel real good. Amen. I don't think God feels any better whenever somebody just simply says, "I don't believe that." Amen. And so faith, if you want to please God, you've got to have faith. It said, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." Well, that's obvious, isn't it? How are you going to come to God and you believe that there is God? But you come to Him. That is the very minimum of faith, is to believe that He is. And the only way that you will know that God is by faith. People that are looking for some other proof of faith other than faith, they're not going to find it. Amen. But let me hurry to say that you'll not find anything else either without faith. So faith is essential. We must believe that He is, that He exists, and we must believe that He's a rewarder. But say a rewarder. Amen. That He is a rewarder of them that diligently, but say diligently, seek Him. Now people that belligerently seek Him are people that doubtfully seek Him, are people that seek Him for any other reason than the fact that He's a rewarder, are seeking for the wrong reasons. I think one of the reasons that prayers are hindered is because God sees our motives sometimes. And when God sees our motive and our motive is impure, then He doesn't always answer that prayer. That's why the Scripture said, "Delight thyself in the Lord also." And when your desire is right and you're in tune and in touch and in harmony with God and His will, it's easy for God to answer your prayers because your motive's right. But if our motive is just selfish, sometimes God cannot answer prayer. Have you ever prayed a prayer that later on you said, "God, I'm sure glad you didn't answer that"? I have. Amen. I've prayed some prayers and maybe even God looked granted. But later down the road I said, "Woo, thank you, Lord. Boy, I'm glad you didn't answer that prayer." Hallelujah. Amen. God answers prayers, but He answers it in a certain way. So faith then is absolutely essential. Going to believe God, know God, and receive things from God. It's important, it's essential that we have that tonight. Amen. If you can see something or hold something, then you really don't need faith. If it's obvious and it's apparent and it's tangible, faith is not required. Amen. But God is none of those things. You can't see God. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. The only way that you can and will see God is in the body of Jesus Christ, because he's the visible image of the invisible God. And you will, and you have, those that saw Jesus on the earth saw the only body that God chose to inhabit. And when we get to heaven and we see the one that sits on the throne, we're going to see him too. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's going to be our vision and our image of God, because that's the one we'll see. Amen. And so we will see him. But right now, we haven't seen him. Now, I see a lot of evidence of God. My, everywhere I look, I see evidence of God. Jesus explained it one time when he said, how many have ever seen the wind? Anybody ever seen the wind? No, you have not. But you have seen the evidence of the wind. You see leaves blowing in the breeze. You see the waves capping in the ocean and in the lake. Amen. In West Texas, I think I've seen half of Alaska. Coming down. It gets strong out there. I mean, you get some serious... You not only see the wind, you can taste it. It tastes like dirt. Now, you're not seeing the wind, but it sure picks up a lot of dirt. Amen, and delivers it. And so you can't see wind any more than you can see God. But how many ever felt the wind? Don't that, I love a good breeze. Well, on a hot day, doesn't a good breeze feel good? It just helps things a lot. Amen. And God's like that. You can't see him, but you see the evidence of him. Everywhere you look, you see the evidence of him. You're standing on his earth. You're breathing his air. You enjoy his sunshine and his rain. Amen. Everything about God that you know on the earth, it's his creation. And so we experience God, but we cannot see him. And the only way we know God is by faith. But faith in God is a powerful, powerful thing. Faith in God will cause you and help you to endure difficult and almost impossible things. It will cause you to receive answers that nothing else will ever help you to receive, and you'll never receive any other way. Amen. Anybody here ever received anything from God by faith? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There was a man in the Bible by the name of Job. The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. I think it's an interesting study. It's a book about overcoming suffering and loss by faith. That's the theme of the book of Job. Job was a very wealthy man. And yet, in a few moments' time, in a day's time, he lost everything that he had. He lost it all in just one day's time. And at the end of all of the loss, Job chapter 1 verse 20, it says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. Everybody say he worshiped. Rending his garment was a symbol of grief and humility. Shaving his head was a sign of grief and humility. But worship was a symbol of faith. He fell down and he worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. That's good to remember. When you came into this world, you didn't have any pockets and nothing to put in there. And when you leave this world, you will leave the same way you came. You may have pockets and they may be full, but they ain't going with you. Amen. I love that story, and I'm going to tell it again. I know some of you have heard it, but not everybody. Well, let me tell it again, all right? I like the story of the guy that read, "You can't take it with you," but he said, "I'm going to try." And so he got all of his money and his gold and all of his possessions that were precious. And he put them up in his attic. And he said, "And when I die," he said, "I'm going to grab them on the way up." Well, they couldn't wait to get back from the funeral to see if that was still gone or still there. Well, of course, it was still there. And his wife, who perhaps knew him best, said, "Maybe he should have put it in the basement." Maybe that's why it was still there. He was going the wrong way. But we don't have pockets. We didn't come here with them. We're not going to leave with anything. That's why when the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, he really meant it. It's all his. It's all his. And nobody has taken anything from the earth. It's still God's and totally and completely his. We've altered some things. We've changed some things, but it's all still God's stuff. And so Job said, I didn't have anything when I came here. He said, I'm not going to have anything when I leave. He understood that. And then he says this beautiful thing. He says, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now that's a beautiful song. It's easy to sing the first verse, "The Lord gave." We all like that one. And some people dare to sing the second, "And the Lord hath taken away." But only the faithful can sing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." After you have lost things, some of us here tonight have lost some things. Some of us here tonight have lost the things that meant so, so very much to us. And yet, we're still here. And we're still singing, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know what allows you to do that? Faith. That's why Job, when he lost everything that he had, he could still sing that. It said, "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Then his health failed, and he had boils. Anybody ever had a boil? Boy, that hurts. When I was a kid, we called them risings. It just rises, that's all. It ain't there, and then it is. Man, it hurts. Oh, it hurts. And he had them, the Bible said, from the top of his head to the crown of his feet. All he did was sit around in the junkyard, if you will, and picked up pieces of broken pottery and scraped the tops off of them. That's bad. I mean, the guy was in pain. And then, thank the Lord, some encouragers came. Well, at least he thought that's what was happening. The Bible says when they got there, he looked so pitiful, they didn't say anything for 7 days, just looked at him. And then when we started talking, he wished they would have shut up. Because all they did was accuse him and tell him how bad a man he must be for something like this to happen to him. All this time, Job, we thought you was a pretty good guy. You must really be bad for something like this to come upon you. Isn't it amazing how people talk to other people when they're down? You know, we're supposed to be encouragers, folks. Why would you want to say something bad to somebody when they're trying to get up? I mean, I know nobody here would do that. right? I hope not. Amen. I've heard a few reports. I said, surely not. You must have misunderstood. Surely nobody in Athens United Pentecostal Church would say something like that. Surely they wouldn't try to discourage somebody that was trying their best to get up. Surely they'd pray for them and extend them a hand of faith and strength and say, I'm praying for you, brother. Hey, man, it's tough, but you're going to make it. Hey, man, by the grace of God, His grace is sufficient. You're going to make it. I want you to know I'm standing with you. I'm praying for you. I'm pulling for you. Anything I can do to help, you let me know and I'm going to do it. That's what I think they said. But that wasn't what they heard. But I'm glad you got that real good. Amen. Hallelujah. Whoever said that stuff's probably not even here anyway, right? Amen. Anyway. Moving right along. Job had his troubles. Amen. And I love this that he said so very much. Though he had gone through so much suffering. Job chapter 23, it said, verse 8, behold, I go forward, but he's not there, talking about God, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where I see him work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand. I cannot see him. You ever felt like that? You just looked all over for God and couldn't see him anywhere. Then verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I love that. Job said, I can't find God. I don't know where he is. But the most important thing, he knows where I am. And he's with me. And he's trying me with a purpose. And when it's all over, I'm going to be better than I was when I started. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? He was convinced. Verse number 11, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job said, even in the greatest trial of my life, I kept walking in his footsteps. I have kept his way, and I have kept his word, and his word has kept me. Great faith is when the word of God keeps you. When you hear doubt assailing from every side, and you face fear, and you face loss, and disappointment, and loneliness, and discouragement. But with all of that going on, there's something that steadies your footstep and leads you on, and that is the living Word of God. Amen. That's great faith. That's great faith. Amen. He lost so much, but he never lost his faith in God. I want to introduce you to another little lady in the book of Matthew, chapter 15. I like this little lady. She had a lot of faith. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan. Everybody say, a woman of Canaan. In other words, she was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. And this Gentile woman came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She recognized Jesus, and she called him by one of his messianic names. She recognized his deity, his lordship, and his messianic fulfillment of prophecy. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Amen. There wasn't any trying to put a positive slant on it. She just recognized what it was and declared it. Sometimes we try to put a pretty face on things, and God can't help us until we recognize what we're dealing with. You know, we have a whole lot of that in our society, don't we? You know, alcoholism is not sin, it's a sickness. Everything's a sickness, right? Or sometimes it's not even a sickness. It's just it used to be a character flaw, but now it's not even that. And the further we get from recognizing a problem and calling it a sin, the further we get from what's going to help us and deliver us from our dilemma. Amen. Some of our leadership has taught us that, well, they don't lie, they just misspeak. And really, lying is not, if you really understand it, it's just a technique they use. Well, no, it's a lie. And nobody likes to be lied to. Anybody here been lied to? When somebody lied, they usually just say, oh, I understand. It's just a technique. I don't think so. Brother, fry those hairs on your toes stood up. And your face got red. And your muscles flexed. Your eyes got a little wild. Now, whether you said it or not, you thought you were lying. None of us like to be lied to. We need to recognize what things are. And don't cover them up, and don't put some politically correct spin on it. Just, this lady didn't do that. She said, my daughter has a devil. Didn't say she's sick. She said she's got a devil. She recognized what she was dealing with. And she called it. And she brought it to Jesus. Now listen to what Jesus said. Verse 23. You know what he said? The first test of her faith was she was ignored. How many like to be ignored? Don't that just burn you? I walked out of business for that. Walked in, people didn't pay any attention and ignored me, and I just walked in. But when your daughter's got a devil, the only one that can help her is the one that she came to. There's nowhere else to go. So the first step of her faith and the first trial of her faith was being ignored. Have you ever felt like God ignored you? Have you ever prayed and you didn't get any kind of answer at all? Hang on. It's not over. It might get worse before it gets better. It did for her. What happened next? But he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away! Get rid of this woman! Then she faced rejection. She thought being ignored was bad. And then they started hollering, "Get rid of this woman." Rejection. You ever been rejected? Well, that's a turn off. If anything can discourage you, if you ignoring won't do it, rejection might. But you know what? It didn't make her go anywhere. She had her mind made up. This is the one that can help me, and I'm not going anywhere till he does. Amen. So, rejection didn't make her leave. And when he finally answered, he said, "I am not sent but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You know what that was? That was outright prejudice. Did that make her leave? In other words, he was saying, "I'm a Jew, you're a Gentile. This is for Jews." Didn't leave. She stayed right. Matter of fact, you know what she did when he said that? She started worshiping. Woo! You talk about some great faith. I'm talking about some great faith here, folks. There's nothing he could do. She wouldn't be ignored. She couldn't be rejected. She overcame prejudice. And then in the face of all that, instead of leaving and getting mad, she started worshiping. And she said, "Lord, help me." And then it still didn't get any better, but he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." And then she got insulted. She was ignored and rejected and subjected to prejudice, and then she was insulted. But what did she do? She said, "Truth, Lord." That's right. She said, "Yep, the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." She said, I know. What you said is true. But all I'm asking for is just a crumb. She had crummy faith. All I need is a crumb from your table. That's all I need. I don't need a lot. Just a crumb can chase away any devil. Just a crumb can deliver my daughter. Just a crumb will bring healing. All I'm asking is just a crumb. Now, after all of this, Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith." Now, he only used that two times, great in faith. And both times, he was speaking to a Gentile. As far as I know, he never said that to any Jewish person. Both of those Gentiles should have been outside the promise, but the great faith, he couldn't keep them out. He said, "I'm not shutting the door on faith like that. I might have just come to Israel right now, but you're coming in." I can't say no when you got that kind of faith. Amen. And so God responded to that kind of faith. Said, "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt," and thy daughter, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I'm talking about some great faith here. Faith that will not be ignored. Faith that cannot be rejected. Faith that will not be insulted. Faith that will just keep standing in the face of every kind of test. And lastly, this man that we read about in the book of Luke and in the book of Matthew, First of all, he's an unusual man. He was a man's man. He was a centurion. The centurion was the backbone of the Roman army. He was the sergeant major, if you will. He was the one that was over 100 men. That's why he's called a centurion. Roman legion was made up of 6,000 soldiers. That was split into 60 centuries, or groups of 100 men. And over each of those 100 was a centurion. And he was the guy that got the job done. You know, the Bible on numerous occasions in the New Testament speaks of centurions, and always in a positive light. You couldn't be a centurion without some character, without some backbone. And so the centurion comes, and he's unusual also in the aspect that he had a servant, and he loved him. So many looked upon their servants, or their slaves, if you will, as being possessions instead of persons. But he not only looked at him as a human being, but he had great compassion, and he loved him. It was not at all unusual in Rome that when a servant became sick, they would either sell them or just make them go away, leave them to their own devices. But when his servant fell sick, he sought help for him. And he heard about Jesus, and so he sought him out. Whether he came, I'm not sure. One group says he came, the other one said he sent a delegation. But when Jesus heard his need, and he said, "Lord, my servant lieth sick at home of the palsy." And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." Now here's where great faith stands out. This is where great faith reveals itself. He said, "I will come." And the man said, "I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof." Listen closely. He said, "But if you will speak the word, if you will just speak the word, he will be healed." Now that's great faith. You see, you and I, oftentimes, if we don't have the Lord's presence, it's hard for us to have faith. Even though we have his word, we get so dependent upon his presence that his word is not enough. But here's a man that could have had his presence, but he said, that's not what I need. All I need is your word." Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's great faith. And the man explained it this way. He said, I'm over men. I'm a man under authority, and yet he exercised authority. In other words, whatever my superiors tell me to do, I do it. But whatever I tell the men under me to do, I expect them to do it. So he said, "I say to one man, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes." And he said, "I say to this one, do this, and he does it." So he said to Jesus, "I'm under your authority," is what he said. "So if you'll just say it, it'll happen." Hallelujah. And by the time he got home, his servant was healed. Praise the Lord. That's great faith, folks, when you can take the word of God and just stand on it and believe it, that it's going to happen. Amen. Great faith. Great faith. You have to have faith in God whether you can feel Him or not. You have to be like Job. He said, "Can't feel Him, I can't find Him." but His Word is real. I'm going to keep walking the way I've been walking. I'm going to keep going the way I've been going. I'm going to keep doing what I know I'm supposed to be doing. I'm going to keep His commandments. I'm going to do what I know is right. Amen. Because His Word abides forever. Amen. Brother Tenney said it this way. He said, when you can't track God, you just have to trust Him. You just have to trust Him. Trust is an Old Testament word of faith. You just have to have faith. Amen. I've spent a good portion of my life, it seems like, just trusting. And till one of those old songs has become one of my favorites. He's so good to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Just in faith to plunge neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Amen. That's what faith's all about. Faith's not being bossy and telling God what to do. I've heard some folks do that. And they thought they had a lot of faith because they felt like they could use faith to boss God around. That's a warped concept. You've got things totally out of order. God is sovereign, and He takes orders. Amen. So I've heard folks say, if you got enough faith, you know God has to respond. No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't. And there's more to this than just you having faith. Amen. Some people have faith in faith. Faith is their God. Amen. And you may get some answers, but that doesn't mean God's doing it. Say that one more time. You may get some answers, but that doesn't mean God's doing it. You know, there is another one that can help you find some answers. You're just throwing out faith without being subject to God and surrendered to God and obedient to God. And that's what faith is. Faith puts God first and everything else second. Amen. And faith is, it understands that sometimes you're going to be insulted and sometimes you're going to be ignored. Sometimes you're going to be rejected. Sometimes you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. You're going to be put through some things. But faith is going to stand steadfast. And it's going to say, well, I'm still following His steps. I'm still standing in His ways. I'm still believing in His Word. That's what real faith is. Amen. That's what real, that's what great faith is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Great faith prays for healing, but if it doesn't get it, it doesn't go away angry. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I knew a guy one time in the Bible that, and I hear people, I've never heard people say this, well, if you got enough faith, you will be healed. Tell Paul that. He said, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh. He said, I prayed 3 times that God would take it away. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, that thorn is doing you a world of good, Paul. Stick with it, bud. It's not going to kill you till I say so. Amen. Did you know that God's more interested in your character than He is in your comfort? We're real interested in comfort. God's more interested in our character. So sometimes He sends us some things uncomfortable to build our character. Amen. And that's what He did for Paul. Paul recognized it. Amen. He said, lest I be exalted above measure, lest I get proud and fall. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. He recognized it. Asked for it to be removed. God said, I won't take away the thorn, but I'll give you grace. Amen. And Paul accepted that deal. And he said, everybody say, most gladly. That's what he said. Most gladly, therefore. Woo! You talk about some faith. When he didn't get an answer, he just got all excited and said, all right, God. Amen. Your way is best. He said, I'm going to get excited next time I get in trouble and tribulations and trials and persecutions and troubles. Amen. He said, I'm going to most gladly, therefore. I'm going to rejoice in these things. Sounds like it went off the deep end, doesn't it? He did, the deep end of faith. Hallelujah. That's why he could sing at midnight. Amen. With stocks and bonds. Not the kind that you get on Wall Street either. Amen. I'm talking about the kind that's chained your hands and your feet. Backs beaten and bloody. Amen. But at midnight he started singing. And God shook the earth. I'm talking about great faith. Great faith. Amen. Great faith. That's the kind we need. These are trying times. We need great faith. And by God's grace, we'll have it. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time here tonight, your attention. Amen. Praise God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Yeah, you'll have some enemies, and there are some, but they're not like God. They can't do what He can do. Amen. They're not His equal. They can't even stand in His shadow. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, God is with us. I don't know what's coming on the earth. I really have a feeling that we're headed for some seriously troubled times. I think that we're living in the last days and that we're going to see things that we've never seen in our life. It's not unusual. Other times and other places have known it. We never have. I've had some people concerned from time to time, saying, I don't know if I can live through times like that. I'm telling you, you can. Because God's grace is sufficient. Somebody say, God's grace is sufficient. And the scripture said, He will cause all grace to abound. So you'll not be standing in your strength, but you'll be standing in His strength. And you'll not be trusting to your provision, you'll be trusting in His provision. And God is always able to supply. I could stand here tonight for a very long time. I'm not going to, don't get scared. But I could. And tell you time and time and time again how God has provided things that people need. I could tell you about healings. I could tell you about resurrections. I could tell you about provisions. So many things God has done for others and God will do for you. Amen. Some of you here tonight, you have some great testimonies that you could share about how God came through and supplied and just astounded you because you didn't have any idea that He was going to do it then, and you certainly didn't know He was going to do it that way. But God just continually surprises us the way He comes through and does what only He can do. Amen. Let's look to Him right now, shall we? Father God, what a privilege to know You. Oh, it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to trust You, Lord. Just to know that You're able. Not only able, but also willing. And to know that You love me more than I could ever understand or comprehend. And that You wish the best, not only for me, but You wish me to become the best that I can be. And Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. You're so far removed and so much higher. We'll never comprehend You. But thank You tonight that You are always seeking our best. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. You're so very good. Thank You for faith tonight. That's what we're doing here. Everybody that's in this house tonight has some faith. That's why we're here. Amen. Some of these folks have been through quite a lot, but they're still here tonight. Thank You for that faith that has preserved us and kept us and brought us to this place. I thank You for that. Amen. Let that faith continue to grow in us. Amen. Until we get into the presence of the Lord and all of our faith is realized in our great reward. Thank You tonight, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I would be remiss tonight if I didn't have an opportunity for people to pray, want to pray. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what life has brought to your door. I don't know where you find yourself at this moment in time, things that you're facing and dealing with. But I promise you one thing, that if you have a need, God has an answer. If you feel like moving out from where you are, stepping down to this altar, in front of this auditorium, God will meet you here. We'll meet you here. We'll pray with you. Amen. We'll help you. We'll encourage you. God will strengthen you, and you'll find answers that you need. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you're welcome. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I trust Him all and all. Jesus, Jesus, pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. Great faith. Let's have great faith. Trust His word. Stand on it. It'll never fail. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for being here. Mm-hmm.